Welcome to the Torah Teimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Tesvav, Chapter 15. We ended Perek Yudalit with a reconciliation between David and Avshalom. Avshalom was David's son who had killed Amnon and therefore had run away to his maternal non-Jewish grandparents in Geshur. Yoav brought him back, and David, after a couple of years, there was a reconciliation. We're going to be going now into the rebellion, the revolt of Avshalom against his father David. There are many lessons to learn from this perek. I want to start with the perek of Tehillim, perek Gimel, that David wrote as he's running away from Avshalom. Mizmar leDavid bevarchei mifnei Avshalom benai. A song for David as he's running away from Avshalom, his son. And of course, everyone wants to know, why is he singing a song? It would be much more appropriate for him to be saying a kina, a eulogy, to be wailing and crying. What is the song? And the answer that is given, and this is the theme of this perek, is that David understood that this made no sense. The fact that Avshalom is fighting against him, there's no logical reason for it and how it's playing out. And if it's happening, then he learns, he understands two things. One, Hashem is in control. Hashem is making this happen. This is a gzera, this is a decree. And therefore, if that's so, then he is in Hashem's hands and Hashem will take care of him. One. Two, if Hashem is making this happen, then there is purpose behind the suffering. There is meaning to the suffering. This is all part of the process of cleansing himself from his sin. And therefore, Mizmar, he sings a song. He understood, I am, this is all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. What was Avshalom thinking? Perhaps he believed, I should be the heir. Amnon was the Bechor, and he is dead. The second son, we don't know much about, and perhaps he died in childhood, we just don't know. And I, Avshalom, am the third son, and therefore, I should be setting myself up now to become the heir to the throne. So in Pasuk Aleph 1, Vayehi Me'acharechein, was immediately after the reconciliation, Vayas Le'Avshalom Merkava V'susim V'chamishim Ish Ratzim Lefanav. He makes for himself a chariot and horses and 50 people running before him. None of these things were terribly controversial. It should make sense that he should have a chariot and horses. It would seem that the wealthier people at this time did. He was, after all, celebrating his return to the royal status, showing how happy he was that the king accepted him back. Did he really have 50 people running before him? Perhaps it's an exaggeration. It would seem strange, but we can say perhaps he was scared of revenge that somebody would try and kill him for the fact that he killed Amnon. These are things that, in hindsight, David HaMelech should have probably stopped. But according to the Das Seifrim, David at this time is having a hard time himself. All the old rumors are starting to come back, and it's certainly not going to be clear that Shlomo, the son of Bathsheba, would become the king. A lot of terribly difficult things have been happening to David, for David, and people were starting to talk, and he was laying low, so he did not stop Avshalom. In Pasuk Beis, we see how Avshalom starts to set himself up as a friend of the people. He would wake up early in the morning, even though, as the prince, he didn't really need to wake up early, but he did it to show the love he had for the Jews. And he would come and stand where they would come in to wait online to be judged. And he would ask them, where are you from? To show his consideration to them. And they would be grateful for the attention and feel good about it. The people who were coming were all people who weren't satisfied with the judgment they got in their small courts. And so they came to David's court to try again. These people are bitter people and ripe for Avshalom to try and get them on his side. And in Pasuk Gimel 3, Vayemrei lev Avshalom, and Avshalom, after he would schmooze up the person, he would talk to him, he would say, Re'ei dvarecha tovim v'nechaychem, your words are strong words, they're good words. V'shomea ein nechame eis ha-melech, but unfortunately, the king is not going to listen to you. And these people were so vulnerable, and Avshalom was there and he made them feel heard, and he would turn to them and say, you have such a good justification for winning your case, unfortunately, no one is going to listen to you. Which was very dangerous, because when a person doesn't believe in the justice system, everything falls apart. Now, how is he packaging it? It could be understood in any way by the person who's listening, but if he would be questioned on this, how could you say this about David? He might be able to say something like, no, it's not that David is a bad person, it's just that my father David, you know, he's a busy person, he's very busy trying to build a base of Mikdash, and you're coming to him with your petty details. And he's laying the foundation for Pasuk Dalet, where he says, number four, if only I would be the judge. He's saying, it's not that I want to be the king, I just want to be a shofet, a judge, and bring some justice to the country. And it could be that this wouldn't even have been a bad idea, and perhaps something that the king would have welcomed if things hadn't played out the way they did. It's possible even that it would have happened. And in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, if someone tried to bow down to him, he would kiss him. He would pull him up. He would kiss him. He would say, no, don't bow down to me. I'm just a little person. And in Pasuk Vav, number 6, in this way, Ve'yiganev Avshalom, a slave unto Yisrael. In this way, Avshalom steals the heart of the Jewish nation. Everyone looks up to him and they love him. So this set the foundation. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Vehimi Ketz Abraim Shana. It was after 40 years. We'll talk in a minute what these 40 years are. Ve'yemar Avshalom al Hamelech. And Avshalom says to his father, to David, Alachana va'ashalem es nidri asher nadarti la'ashem b'chevron. Let me go to Chevron and let me pay back the promise. And he explains that he had made a promise when he was... he had run away to Geshur, that if I come back, I will bring karbonos to Hashem. Please let me go to Hebron and bring these karbonos. What is the 40th year? This is the 37th year of David's reign, 40 years since they had asked for a king improperly, the Jewish nation. And now they're going to get their punishment. They didn't get their punishment right away, but they're going to get it now. And the punishment is that they're going to take part in a rebellion against the very king that they themselves asked for. What is the significance of these 40 years? It's perhaps that Avshalom is seeing and the people are seeing that there's no clear line of succession here. Who's going to be the king next? And if we don't have a clear king, we're going to go back to Tekufas Shoftim, to the mess that was there. So they wanted clarity. And the clarity might be that Avshalom should become the king just in Hebron. Let him have some power now, and then it will be clear that he'll take over, that David HaMelech is going to, when David dies, he'll be there to take over. In Pasuk Tes 9, David gives him permission to go, and he says to him, Lech b'shalom, go in peace. We say Lech b'shalom to someone who is dead, to a niftar. To a live person, we say Lech l'shalom, go to peace, meaning there's still more work for you to do. Lech b'shalom means your work is done. This was a slip of David's tongue, foreshadowing what would happen next. Although we see he lost his ruach hakodesh, he lost his regular chachma, there's a little hint here that perhaps he's picking up that this is not such a great idea. In Pasuk Yod, Vayishlach Avshalom Meraglim B'chol Shiftei Yisrael Lemar, and Avshalom, who wants this transition of himself to power to go over smoothly, sends spies to all the different Shvatim, and he says, Kisham Achem Eskol HaShofar, when you hear the shofar blowing, V'amartem, you should say, Malach Avshalom B'chevron. Avshalom became king in Chevron. It seems, again, that Avshalom's plan, at this point anyways, was not to become the king and not to kill David, not to chase David, but to become the king in Hebron, the same way that David became first king in Hebron before he became king all over Klal Yisrael. And again, that would be the natural transition, that after David dies, he could be the king. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he does something very tricky. He asks for a letter from David requesting that allow two people to come along with me when I go to Hebron, which David wrote for him, according to Rashi. And then he showed this letter 100 times. So when he went up to Hebron, he had 200 very choshev people who were going with him, people who didn't know what they were in for and thought that they were acting on the request of David HaMelech. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, it seems that once he had these 200 very important people with him, he was able to convince Achitofel to join. Now, Achitofel was a Rebbe of David HaMelech. He is a person who is considered a big Talmud Chacham whose insides did not match his outsides. That means that on the outside, he was a big Talmud Chacham. Unfortunately, all the Chachma of the Torah did not help him become the person he should have been, and he is going to be a driving force here in this merit against David. And the way that Avshalom was able to convince Achitofel to come was by showing him that, look, these 200 people, they are with me, and the 200 people came because of his trickery. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, somebody comes to tell David what is going on, and in Pasuk Yud Dalet, we see that he understands that this is the gezeira that was foretold against him. This is the decree that he knew was coming. And therefore his reaction was not to fight it, but he was mekabel the gezeira. He accepted the gezeira and he ran away. He wanted to save the lives of the people and he wanted to save the city because he knew that if he stayed to fight back, it could be that a lot of people were going to die. And he wasn't interested in that. And he said, we've got to go. Pasuk Tesva, Vayemru Avdei HaMelech El HaMelech. And the servants of the king told the king, Chol Asher Yivchar Adoni HaMelech, Hinei Avadecha. Whatever you tell us to do, you're our master, we are your servants. And when David saw that his people were still with him and they were organized and settled, he said, usually when there's a revolt or any upheaval, usually there's no order, there's a lack of order. And here, when he saw that his people were with him, standing at his service, he was very grateful. And in Pasuk Tesayin 16, we're not sure why, he leaves his Pilakshim behind. Pilakshim, as we've spoken about, are not full wives. They don't have the full status of being a wife, but he leaves these women behind in his city. It says to watch the city, to watch the palace. And in Pasuk Yudzayin, we see that David goes away, he walks with his feet. That means he's not going to go on his horse and chariot the way the kings would, but with Hachna'a, he understands that I'm not supposed to be the king right now, and he goes by foot. And a lot of people come with him, including in Pasuk Yudches 18, the Kresi Uplesi, which means either the Urim V'Tumim or the Sanhedrin, which came with him. And Rashi says that it's when he saw the Sanhedrin with him, he had a lot of chizuk, and here is where he starts to say, Mizmor leDavid, Bevarchem ifnei Avshalom b'nai. He understands that he is not alone. He also had the Gittim with him. It's unclear who they were. The Radak says either they're people who came with Itai Hagiti, we'll talk about the leader of them all, or they were the same, they were people who were with him back in Gat during his difficulties with Shaul in Shmuel Aleph. And these are real people because they were the ones who stuck with him during the hard times. They are the ones that are going to be with him forever, meaning the people who became friendly with him when he was already the king. Some of them stayed with him and some of them perhaps didn't stay with him. But these, the ones that were with him in hard times back then, are going to be with him right now. Or perhaps they were Gittim who were Megayer previously, and they felt a real connection to David because he was the one who was Megayer them. He was the one who converted them, and they felt this is their connection to being Jewish, and therefore they refused to leave them. Him. In Pasuk Yutes 19, Vayomer HaMelech al Itai Hakiti, Lama Selech Gamata Yitanu, why are you coming with us? Shuv, go back, Veshev Im HaMelech, and stay with the king. Interesting, he's already calling Avshalom the king. Ki nachri ata v'gam goyla ata l'koymecha. You don't have to do this with me. You are a nachri, meaning that he wasn't saying that your gear is not a good gear, but what he was saying is you don't need this. What is this for you? Why do you have to be part of my travails and my troubles? And we'll see later that Ittai will actually help David in his fight. It would have been hard for him if he left. However, he said, you can easily go back to Avshalom. You go to Avshalom's side, and if you don't want to do that, you can go back home. This is not your problem. He cares a lot about other people. But Ittai refuses to go, and he says, I'm going to stay with David. And he says, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do what you do. If we are looking at this perhaps as a test to see if the conversion of Ittai Hagiti was a real conversion, was an authentic conversion, these words are resonant of the same words that Rus used when she was trying to tell Naomi, I'm coming with you and I'm going to be with you. The leaving of Yerushalayim was very tragic. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf to Chaf Gimel, we see it. V'chol ha'aretz b'ichim kol gadol, and everybody was crying, and it was a great cry. Who was crying? The people who stayed behind, the people who came with him. Everybody was crying, except David wasn't crying at this point. He was saying the Mizbar. The Simcha knows, again, the Simcha comes from knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding me, and I have done something wrong, and now I'm going to be cleansed. And in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, the Kohanim are coming to join him too, together with the Aron HaKodesh that they're bringing with him. And in Psukim Chaf Hei to Chaf Tes 25 to 29, David realizes that they should not bring the Aron out with him, as it's not proper respect for the Aron. Again, remembering what has happened when they tried to bring the Aron out to war previously, he remembered that Eli was punished for doing the same thing. And he said, it is clear that this is a punishment that is coming to me, and I know what I have to do, and I hope Hashem will enable me to do the proper tshuva so I'll be able to come back. So you go back to Yerushalayim and bring the Aron back with you, which they do. And a pasuk Lamed 30, V'David oyle b'ma'ale hazesim oyle uvoicha. Now David is crying. Even though before his people were crying and he wasn't, now he is crying and all the people who are with him are also crying and they're walking with their heads bared. He starts to cry now because it's actually time to leave the city to say goodbye to the Aron, to be standing on Har HaZeisim and to be able to see the Makom HaMikdash and to realize that he is going. And again, he could have gone on a horse. He could have gone in a different way. He wanted to show himself and he wanted to show all of Klal Yisrael and all of us through history that even the greatest person can fall and fall terribly if he doesn't do Ratzon Hashem. He's not preparing for war. He's not running to hide. He's walking on a mountainside barefoot and covered over, crying without embarrassment of his tears, of having lost his high position, understanding that this is tshuva and only tshuva that will get him to become closer to Hashem once again. And this is the way that he is going. With the tears, he realized that there's a great chesed, that he's not being killed, but he's being sent away. But still, the gzera is terrible and becomes even worse when in Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31, he finds out that Achitofel b'koshim im Avshalom, that Achitofel is working with Avshalom, Vayomer David, and David says to Hashem, Sakelna es atzas Achitofel Hashem. Hashem, please destroy the ideas of Achitofel. Make them not work. And it's interesting that he understands that Achitofel is the real power. And he says, don't let Avshalom listen to Achitofel's advice. Make sure that something goes wrong. Immediately after he davens, he's answered, and the help comes in the form of Hushai HaArki. Hushai HaArki is a person who came from Ephraim. He is David HaMelech's friend. He is one of the few times that we see somebody called a friend in Tanakh. And he was one of the many Chachamim surrounding David at this time. But apparently from Pasuk Lamed Gimel 33, he was an older man. And David says, don't run with me. Instead, go back to Avshalom and pretend to be on his side and work together with him, together with him. And I have sent the Kohanim back as well, together with the Aron. So you tell the Kohanim if anything comes up, if there's any information that I need to know, and they're going to come and they're going to let me know what happened. And he agrees to do that. Vayavai Hushai Rea David Ha'ir, and Hushai, the friend of David, comes to the city. Va'avshalom Yavai Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Maktim Refua Lamaka Hashem, brings the refuah before the destruction, meaning that after David sets everything up already, sends the Kohanim back, sends the Aron back, sends Hushai back, sets up this whole spy service, only then does Avshalom come to Yerushalayim. We are right in the middle of the revolt. We will continue with Perek Tesayin. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmot Imaotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Alei HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker, Alei HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.